Revelation 9, 1 through 12. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running to battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name of Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Brothers and sisters, generally many criminals die before the age of 40, mostly by the hands of other thugs. In this case, wicked people serve as instruments of judgment and punishment of other wicked ones. This is what occurs here in Revelation 9. Revelation 8 had already announced God's judgment against persecutors of Christians through calamities upon the earth, which is the first trumpet, and then calamities at sea, the second trumpet, calamities on rivers and springs, the third trumpet, and calamities in the sky, fourth trumpet. These calamities are physical, but the next ones will be spiritual. If we think that the first four calamities are terrible and bring horror and suffering to the wicked and persecuted of Christians, then we cannot even imagine what will come next. In Revelation 8:13, John saw an angel flying and loudly shouting, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." And brothers and sisters, some translators use the word eagle instead of angel here in this passage. Some manuscripts bring this word eagle instead of angel. An eagle brings the idea of something terrible to come. For an eagle, the greatest bird of prey, is shouting about the next place. Look at that. Anyway, the meaning of John's vision is quite simple. The three remaining trumpets will be worse than the first four. And this is the point. So let's look at this fifth trumpet, which is affliction by Satan and his angels. Affliction by Satan and his angels. Verse 1 says, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit." Verse 1. The falling star is a reference to Satan. Jesus had already said in Luke 10:18, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Jesus had already said that. So this is Satan. The fallen star represents Satan, who lost his position in holiness when he rebelled against God. There is no place in heaven for him and his allies, the fallen angels, also called demons. Even though Satan was cast out from heaven, it is said here in verse 1 that he received the key of the bottomless pit. It means that he is given permission to open the abyss, to allow the demons out, which is horrible. Bottomless pit, also called the abyss, it means hell before the final judgment. It works as a kind of punishment or restriction of the activities of a demon. In Luke 8:31, when Jesus cast out a horde of demons called Legion from a man, the demons begged Jesus that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Look at this. At this point, it's worth remembering that the demons are under the supreme dominion of our Lord. They are disobedient and rebellious, but are infinitely inferior in power and authority. We cannot imagine that Satan is trying to wrestle against God. He cannot do that because he is infinitely inferior. He is not wrestling with God, measuring powers. Absolutely not. God's power is infinitely superior. And Satan, with all his evilness, is under God's control. Keep this in mind. Even the most powerful among the demons cannot resist when our Lord commands, "Get out!" Then verse 2 says, "And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit." When verse 2 says that Satan has opened the pit of the abyss, it means that Satan instigates evil. Darkness always resembles wickedness, impurity, and ignorance. In 1 John 1:5, the apostle said, "God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." So darkness in Revelation 9 indicates the means the evil one uses to subjugate people. Wickedness, rebellion, lies, sin in its deepest meaning. When Satan opens the bottomless pit, all kinds of evil comes up. It releases a smoke so dense and dark that it blinds and totally blocks the sunlight and darkens the air. This resembles the plague of darkness in Egypt. But it's even worse. "Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power." Verse 3. Here again we remember one of the plagues of Egypt, the locusts. But here the picture is much worse. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, But only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Verse 4. According to Exodus 10 in verses 4 through 5 and Joel 1 through 12, the plague of ordinary locusts is terrible when they devastate the vegetation. See how the locusts of Revelation 9 are worse than the ordinary ones. They do not destroy the vegetation, not even damage it. They harm men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Look at this. These locusts are the demons available to carry out the devil's commands. And Satan fills the world with demons to carry out his evil plans. They cause terrible affliction in the wicked ones. The demons are horrible, deplorable. Children of God are free from this kind of affliction. Although the fallen angels cause wicked people to suffer, they cannot harm the people of God. John wrote in his first epistle, "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin." Let me just explain. That means they do not commit sin all time. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. Jesus Christ keeps those who are in him. And the wicked one does not touch him. Look at this. This is the amazing blessing of God toward his church. It's in 1 John 5:18. Nevertheless, those who are not saved are under the influence of Satan. For 1 John 5:19 says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." The message in Revelation 9 is quite simple. If you are in Christ, you are protected against the evil angels. But if you are not in Christ, you are subject to the influence of Satan and his demons. Maybe there are demons oppressing you. But there is a way to be free from the influence of Satan. Repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ. Give up on your own works and trust only in the grace of God. The Spirit of God will dwell in your heart and will keep you safe and sound against the attacks of the evil one. Verses 5 and 6 say, "And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like a torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them." I'll tell you, my mother suffered a scorpion's attack. And she told me that it was the most painful wound she ever had in her life. It's horrible. Yes, brothers and sisters, there are some scorpions in Brazil. In countryside of Brazil, they have this problem. And sometimes a scorpion strikes them. It's a problem. And it's very, very, very painful. It's horrible. When the Bible mentions the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man, or that men would desire to die and death will flee from them, the Bible is describing the most painful suffering that somebody couldn't imagine. We have heard of a mercy shot. When a soldier is suffering too much due to a deadly wound in the war, and his opponent shoots him for a quick death. This is the mercy shot. The wounded soldier desires to die in order to be free from such excruciating pain. But here in Revelation 9, there is no mercy shot for the wicked. This passage also shows that nothing is out of God's control. He's sovereign and gives permission for the devil to perform the evil that he desires. Everything Satan does is under God's control. The devil works with deceit, illusion, sin, pride, pain, darkness, and moral degradation, which perfectly match the description of the darkness coming out of the abyss. However, God put limits to the sphere and duration of these actions of Satan. 5 months and no more. Let us now look at the description of the locust in verses 7 through 11. It's not advertisement. They look like horses prepared for battle. This is the first thing. It represents the aggressive character of the demons. They are very aggressive. They don't spare. They hurt as much as they can. They have crowns of fake gold on their heads. This is the second description. It represents victory over their prey. And notice that the gold is fake here. So their victory is not final. Absolutely. The one who is the permanent victor is Jesus Christ, who shares his victory with his people. That's why the elders in chapter 4 have golden crowns on their heads. But the demons will always be victorious over the wicked people. Only over the wicked people. The wicked have no chance against a single demon. Absolutely. Demons are invisible, treacherous, and relentless. They never give up on destroying the wicked ones. Flesh and blood are absolutely powerless before such an enemy, which means human beings can do nothing by themselves. That's why Paul said that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Ephesians 6:12. Flesh and blood have no chance against spiritual enemies. That's why we need to embrace the whole armor of God. This is the only way to stand. Embracing the whole armor of God. So the locusts also have face of men. Look, men are their prey. You see? Especially those who are destined to destruction. And demons are destined to hell, to destruction as well. They also have hair like women. This is curious. They only have hair like women, but nothing else. This means that the demons are deceitful, for they may look sweet, but are bitter and hateful. And then the passage says that they have teeth of a lion, as of a lion. So teeth, as of a lion, means power of destruction. And let me just tell you a short story, because this story is very important for my family. I am the fourth generation of believers in my family. And I would say that I am the fourth generation of believers in my family because of this sentence. Locusts with lion's teeth. I will explain you why. Because my great-grandfather heard that there was a black-covered book which speaks about locusts with lion's teeth. And he was very curious about that. And then he bought a Bible from a bookseller. And it was a secret thing because Brazil was very Catholic at that time, and they used to persecute the Protestants. And so his life would be in peril, in danger, because of the Bible. And then they needed to read the Bible to find out the part about the locust with lion's teeth. And then my grandfather was the only one who could read. And then every night they used to get together, and my grandfather read the Bible for them. And for the God's providence, the locust with lion's teeth is in Revelation. So they had to read the entire Bible. And while they were reading the Bible, God was performing the most powerful miracles in their lives. And they became believers. They believed in Jesus. They rejoiced with the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. And then, when my grandfather was reading Revelation 9 and he read about the locust with lion's teeth, my great-grandfather said, Oops, read it again. And then he read again. Read it again. He read again about 5 to 6 times. He was eager to listen to that, to hear that. And then he became a believer. And when my great-grandfather was up to die, he said, when my grandfather was reading Revelation chapter 21 and 22, speaking about the new earth, new heaven, and the restored paradise, and then my great-grandfather said, I want to be there. I want to be there, even to be one of the God's chickens. I will explain it again. Because in a farm in Brazil, a chicken is the most, insignificant thing. He was very humble at that time. And he was humiliating himself when he said, I want to be there, even to be one of God's chickens. And this is a part of the story of my Christian family. But look, the locusts, they have this lion's teeth. It means power of destruction. So they are ready to destroy. Iron or steel breastplates means invincibility against their prey. The noise of their wings causes a terrifying effect. Look at this. It's a great noise of horses running to battle. In 2 Kings 7, 6 through 7, the Syrians fled, having behind personal belongings and food, when God performed a supernatural noise of chariots and horses running to battle. It caused the Syrians to be terrified, and they desperately fled. And finally, the locusts also have scorpion stings, which means excruciating pain as those inflicted by scorpion stings. And now the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew 12, verses 43 to 45 makes more sense. Pay attention to this. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, Jesus Christ said, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last stage of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be. Look at this. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. Jesus Christ is saying that everything that John described in his vision of the locust is occurring with this wicked generation. Jesus is offering a precise and detailed description of the same matter addressed here in Revelation 9. That's why verses 4 through 6 say that the locusts are allowed to harm, to do harm men who were not sealed by God. They do not kill, as well as most scorpions do not kill, but cause so much pain and agony that some people even ask for death, being victims of their poisonous sting. The torment that demons cause is similar to these scorpions. When it is said that men will seek death, but they will not find it. They will have an intense desire to die, but death will flee from them. The pain described in this passage, brothers and sisters, is not physical, but is a spiritual affliction. Those who are not in Christ suffer agony in their soul, and they don't know how to get out from this situation. I'll tell you, come to Christ, and He will replace your agony by an indescribable joy and satisfaction. Come to Christ and live. And finally, these hellish locusts, the demons, are under the influence of a leader, a king. He's the angel of the bottomless pit, Satan. And he's called Abaddon in Hebrew and Apollyon in Greek. Both the Hebrew and Greek names have the same meaning, destroyer. Destroyer. It's suggesting. It is what they do. They destroy. In short, God uses Satan himself as an instrument of judgment on those who disobey him. The emphasis of this passage is this: the wicked people are surrounded with spiritual calamity and destruction, for Satan is working among them. If you are in Christ, you have no reason to fear demons. They can do nothing to those who are in Jesus. Christ is the good shepherd. He won't allow the thief to come and snatch one of his sheep. He will never let us go. But if you are not in Christ, if you do not belong to Him, unhappily, I have to say that you are under the power of Satan and his demons. If you are listening to this message right now and you know that you are anguished by all sorts of spiritual pain, come to Christ, repent from your sins, and believe that Christ died for you. He rose again, and those who believe in this message will be free from any spiritual agony. If you are listening to this message and you are struggling with drugs and any other kind of addiction, open your heart now. The enemy broke your walls of protection and assaulted the castle of your soul. You put yourself in this situation looking for satisfaction, and now you are dependent on things that will never satisfy you, but only cause destruction. You're looking for joy and happiness, but all you have is spiritual pain. Sometimes you ask to die, but death has fled from you. Listen to me. Jesus can set you free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. John 8:36. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See how gentle and kind God is with all people. God warns even those who afflict His people with persecution and hatred by saying, "One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things." Verse 12. See how God is full of mercy, and His patience is far beyond what we can imagine. Amen.